Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rockness, and I am the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. Last week, we did an episode where Con and I just kind of hung out and talked through Scripture, and we enjoyed doing that. I have no idea if any of you did, but we enjoyed it, so we're going to do it again. So that's kind of all we're doing today. And last week, I kind of picked the verse that or the passage that we went through. So this week, I'm going to turn it over to Con because, like we talked about last week, he is a seminary student. He is capable of thinking through things and reading.
Yeah, picking scripture to read.
He can read, y'all.
Yeah.
He doesn't just sing and play guitar.
It's
he
a big
can
deal.
Read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like so have you read the whole Bible before?
I have.
Wow. He's read the whole Bible, ladies and gentlemen.
Big deal.
He's a good find.
Yeah. So I was listening to a podcast last week.
That's
or
good.
No, this week. It is good.
And I'm way too sarcastic with Con sometimes. I'll try to tone it down.
No, it's good. And it was interesting. It was a different perspective than I typically listen to. It was kind of hyper masculine in a way. And yeah, I thought
and you normally listen to
Yeah. Not always that, but just trying to be open to it, and it was interesting. This guy was talking about kind of attributes of Jesus, and yeah, he kept saying like he's a warrior, and he was kind of that hyper masculine. He's a warrior, you know, kind of like the flipping tables Jesus. I'm like, okay, and I don't know the direction he was taking it. I was just really struck by, okay, like sure that happened, but
the flipping tables happened.
Yep, that happened, but. My brain kept going back to, but God is love. And so I was thinking about that, and then, that was kind of how I wanted to go into 1 John 4 today. And so, should I just read the passage, and then we can
so 1 John 4?
Yeah, so 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. And this is a little longer, but I'll read the whole thing. I think it's worth it. So, I'm reading out of the NRSV. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The mic's kind of in the way, so I got to hold it up here. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has already given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So that's 1 John 4, 7, all the way through 21. And I've just been thinking about that a lot this week, of God is love, and God is a lot of things, but God is love. And so I feel like in our current culture, there's a lot of, I don't want to say misconceptions, but a lot of directions people want to take religion or even maybe spirituality, if you could say it like that. And, you know, how can I make this fit with what I want to believe, or how can I make this fit into, I don't know, a little like a Play-Doh form of some sort. I don't know. Any thoughts, anything stick out to you right away?
Well, I was just kind of thinking, and I read through this last night because you mentioned that he wanted us to go through this yesterday. One thing I kind of have in mind is with what you were kind of thinking of, that juxtaposition of like Jesus as a person who flips tables, but then is also love. So how is that then, if God is love and Jesus is God, how is that moment an act of love?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, this idea of like Jesus as a warrior, I'm not sure. And that's that person's interpretation. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I agree with that because mm-hmm. a warrior is more violence towards a person. Mm-hmm. What Jesus was doing wasn't violence mm-hmm. towards, I mean, yeah, it was flipping tables, but he wasn't hurting people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he was showing them the error of their ways, mm-hmm. certainly, and saying, this does not belong here. Mm-hmm. Flip the table.
Yeah.
Whatever practices were going on there. Mm-hmm. And so it was in that moment, him flipping tables is, yes, being physically assertive, mm-hmm. but it's not violence per se. It's not mm-hmm. a warrior. It's protection of the temple mm-hmm. and protection of worship of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What does yeah, that...
I think that's an important distinction because... Yeah, Jesus was cleansing the temple. Mm-hmm. I think he said, you know, you've made God's house into a den of robbers. And yeah, there's like passion involved in that. And yeah. I think from the perspective that I was reading into, it seemed like this person was almost justifying violence in some ways mm-hmm. of like, well, you know, well, Jesus did this.
Jesus
here.
Flips a table yeah. so I can beat someone right. that I don't agree with.
Right. Yeah. And so I was so struck and kind of, I don't know, just confused by it almost. Like, mm. I don't know where to go with this. And it was actually really interesting. The person he was interviewing wasn't super biblically literate, and so he was kind of newer to his faith. And I was like, oh no, like, I don't know. I just think we have a really high call when we interpret scripture, especially, I mean, to anybody, but with someone who's new to the faith too, I think it can be misinterpreted yeah. pretty easily.
Yeah. The other thing I was kind of thinking of last night is that we, and this is going to maybe sound weird, we say the word love too much.
Mm. Hmm.
And we say it for things that are like, oh, I love that. I love this. I love that. I love doing that. And like we have icons on social media that's like, love this. And we overuse it to the point where it almost doesn't mean as much as it should.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can remember, like, in some, like, songs, it gets used as a euphemism for various things, including, like, the F word. Like, I remember there's that Justin Bieber song from a few years ago. There's the phrase is, like, you should go love yourself.
Oh,
and,
sure.
like, really, it's a euphemism for the F-bomb in that song. And it's just kind of like, wow, that's where our culture has taken love.
Wow,
to the point where it means something that we will use it as a substitute for an expletive.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that. Like, I mean, it shouldn't surprise me because, you know, our culture has gone astray and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's not anything new that's been happening forever. Mm-hmm. But it's just like the ways we use the word love is really kind of sad.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because in Greek, there were the four words for love. And I know in this passage, you know, God is love. It was referenced in Greek, it would have been agape love. Mm-hmm. And so that self-sacrificial love. But even in that, in English, it's just love.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, oh, I love this, or I love that recipe. You're like, well, that's not the same. That's right. not the yeah. same as this self-sacrificial love that God shows us.
It's a word that we've made huge and small at the same time.
Yeah.
Because we've just overused it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, in this, I've actually been thinking in the last couple weeks, been meeting with a pastor who I grew up with, and he ends every phone call with, love you. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, because growing up, that was always, like, for me, like, love you was always just, like, a family thing. I would have really never said that to anyone at school or, you know, maybe a girlfriend eventually. But, like, it was, like, a family thing. And it's interesting. I've been kind of, like, growing out of that, I feel like. Because it's, like, we are called to love. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. What do I say? Like, I appreciate you. It's, like, well, yeah.
Isn't that a form of love?
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, why so not why just, can't we say it? Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, it's interesting. We've definitely taken that probably like to each extreme in yeah. some ways.
Oh, definitely. Like we use it too much, but we also use it too little. We use it too little in the right context of yeah. telling each other how we feel about each other and the ways that we care for each other, yeah. but we use it too much in every other context.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to our culture, kind of sexualizes a lot of things. And it's like, love isn't sexual, you know, inherently. It's right. not. And I think that's where the, in Greek, the four types of love is helpful.
And what are they?
So it'd be agape and then phileo. I believe that's the physical love. Mm-hmm. And I can't actually remember the other two just because I was focusing on
Eros
agape.
Eros is one of them. Okay, I think Eros is like the sexual, physical. I think the phileo is the brotherly love.
Oh, okay, sure. Sure.
What's the other one? I feel like I should know those two. We're not Greek scholars.
That is true.
Yeah.
I don't actually take Greek in my degree. So.
Hey, sorry. I didn't either. I did take Hebrew.
Oh, nice.
It did not go well.
So we would.
I mean, it was good to try to learn, but like, right. I'm not my brain does not process languages very well.
Yeah.
Same. So.
Yeah. So yeah, I think even just like that distinction of like, oh well, like you know, if you found it in ancient Greek writing, a brotherly love. Okay, I know that that's not a sexual love because it's a different word. But yeah, in English, it's love.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of blurs.
And that's where we get uncomfortable using it sometimes because it's like. Oh, I don't want somebody to get the wrong idea.
Totally.
Even though you don't have the wrong idea. Yeah. But it's like, oh, we don't want to say that, so we just kind of punch each other.
That is real. Yeah. Yeah.
Even among brothers, some like actual brothers sometimes. Like, I know sometimes I don't really say I love you to my siblings. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we say that more?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Because it's almost like an unspoken...
Yeah, like assumption.
Yeah, like I know my parents know I love them. I know that they love me. But yeah, it's like I think my mom would still appreciate it if I said,
"Yeah,
they love you." You know,
when I have one friend who, well, I don't have just one friend, but I have a friend who she makes it a point at the end of conversations, like sometimes "love ya" just kind of sounds very just like "bye, see ya."
Sure.
Like back in high school, when I was actually kind of sort of trying to date. I accidentally told a girlfriend I loved her because we were just like walking away, and that was sometimes a thing that I say to people. I was like, "Bye, I love you," and sure. I was like, we were like walking away after a movie, and I was like, "Love you," and then I was like, "Oh, I just said I loved her," and we broke up like the next week.
Oh,
well. Not because of that. It was already whatever. It was fine. But like my friend, she's like, she doesn't want to just say like "love you" at the end of a conversation. She wants to say "I love you" and like really mean it and say it with intention. And I think that was like, that's kind of been whenever I'm kind of wrapping up a phone conversation, I kind of try to keep that in mind of like, don't just say "love you" as like a casual thing. Like, say it and mean it. Like, "I love you."
Yeah.
How does that change things? And that's kind of been something that's kind of stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, I think even that intentionality, like in the text a bit of like, hey, this is an important enough thing where we're going to spend some time on it. 14 verses on it. And so, yeah, I was really struck by even just verse 7, the first one I read. Let us love one another because love is from God. Okay. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And that knowing in some of the research I was doing was talking about, you know, like, it's not like you know of God. It's like, no, like, I actually know God. You know, I know him like I don't want to say like a friend. Like, it's so casual like that. But knowing God, being intimate with God in a way and that. And yeah.
But there is also biblical precedent for calling God friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think I had to read through this a few times because there's kind of a lot of kind of back and forth. Not on the idea, but just, you know, God loves us and we love him. And you kind of in the same sentences where I'm like, oh, am I reading this right? Yeah. And I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And one thing that stuck out to me in reading and some research is, you know, so even just the phrase God is love. Mm-hmm. And then taking that's not to say God isn't just. That's not to say God isn't righteous. You know, it's not to say God isn't holy, but God's holiness stems out of love. God's justice stems out of love. And I think that's a big one kind of right now. There's a lot of people that even like, you know, the phrase, no justice, no peace. Well, like God's justice can be different in that too, because it's a loving justice.
Yeah.
Any thoughts there?
I think sometimes we try to define too many things on our own and expect God to live up to our definition. And so, like, if somebody wrongs me, my definition of justice might be Very different than God's definition of justice.
Sure. Yeah.
And obviously that's very different than like the protest cry of no justice, no peace. Those are different areas. But even still, we try to define too many things and we don't look at God's definitions enough. Mm. Like, I was thinking about that last night too with this passage of love, because oftentimes we only think of love in terms of emotion. Mm. And that's a valid thing to think about. Like, there is an emotional component to love, but oftentimes what the Bible is talking about is love is action. Mm. So we love each other. We can love people without liking them. I'm very convinced of that. Like, you can demonstrate love to a person and not like them at all. Like, when we are called to love our enemies, that's not a call to have warm, fuzzy feelings about our enemies. Like, that's not what God's asking us to do.
Yeah.
In time, God can transform our hearts and do that. But that call to love our enemies is a call to demonstrate care for their well-being and to seek their greater good. And so, if we, like, it's a beautiful idea to think of the emotional side of love in this passage, and that's good and valid, and we can do that. But there's more to it if we kind of think through love as action. Like, I'm going to show love to my parents in this way. I'm going to go to their house and mow their lawn or something, you know. Even if I don't feel a warm, fuzzy feeling toward them that day, that's a way that I can show them love. And so when you think of love that way, it becomes more tangible, but it also, it becomes more possible because we, like, emotions are hard to regulate. You can't just say, oh, I love this person, I love my enemy, or I love this person that's exasperating me. You can't just change your emotions about them, but you can change your actions. You can say, okay, my coworker is upsetting me, but I'm going to love them by doing this thing for them. Or my friend is really ticking me off right now, but I'm going to send them a card and tell them that I care, or whatever. That's loving them. You don't have to have a warm, fuzzy feeling about everybody, but you do have to actively do things that express love. That was a long rant.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, I think that goes back to the text too with, you know, well, how do we love, or how do we know how to love? And we love because he first loved us. It makes me think of do you remember like the children's ministry? Like, he loved because he first loved us. We did that.
I don't know that one.
All the time in our kids ministry. And I thought about it, like, it, I can't like read that without processing that. So I just needed to do that. But
well, I'm glad you had the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving that. But I think
I love you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that too. Thank you. And so, yeah, we know how to love only as a reflection of the love that God's shown us. And I think when those situations come up, it's such a helpful reminder of, you know, if it's work or home life or whatever it might be, kids or, you know, frustrations while driving. I know we both struggle with that a little bit.
Just a little.
And so it's, you know, just, and, oh man, there's just so much here of those who say, this is verse 20, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. It's like, oh man. Like, so we're called to respond out of that love that God's given us and love our brothers and sisters. And I do like that distinction too of love versus like, because that is real. I mean, they're, I don't know if you can like someone all the time. You know, there's just going to be certain things that happen. And
like, I know you love your dogs. I know you don't always like them. There are moments where they are upsetting to you.
That's real.
But you still love your dogs.
Yeah. I yelled at them.
I never love your dogs, but
that's okay.
Yeah. Also hardly ever around them for that reason.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I think that's a great example. Yeah. Cause the love for them doesn't change. Last night they were not listening and they would not come inside. And yeah, I was like, kind of had to get stern and go out there. And
never seen Stern Con. Yeah. I kind of want to.
It's so weird because we have neighbors, and so I don't want to like yell. So I'm kind of like, Marley. You know, it's like that quiet yell. I don't know. But yeah, I don't like them in that situation, but I still love them.
Yeah.
And even love them enough to be like, I want you to
they're inside dogs. Like, come inside, sleep inside. You know, I don't want you to sleep outside tonight. So, yeah, that's interesting. I think that's a good distinction for sure. I remember a person told me that, a lady at the church I grew up at, she was talking about her husband. She's like, I don't always like him, but I do always love him. And that was the first time I heard that. I think I was in college. And I was like, it's so real. Yeah. And that's about, you know, probably don't always like your job, but hopefully you love it. That's not the perfect example, but with people too, you know, you can still love them even in those situations.
And I think C.S. Lewis talks about it in Mere Christianity, one of his most important books, where he's like, what's the key to loving your neighbor? And he's like, pretend to. He's like, just pretend to do it. Like, do the things, like, if your neighbor's driving you nuts, or your friend, or whoever, if they're driving you nuts, just pretend to love them. And over time, the process of, like, faking it, like, of going through the motions of doing the action-type love things, like, you do the acts of service, or you say the kind words, or you do the favors, or you give them the opportunity, or the second chance, the forgiveness. Over time, as you do those actions, your actions inform your feelings.
Yeah.
And so when you do those loving actions over time, that will transform your emotions. Maybe not quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe not easily. And there may be some, you know, two steps forward, one step back. But our emotions do follow our actions. And when we pursue loving actions, that will gradually inform our emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That makes me think of, I had a classmate who, it's really interesting how, like, personality kind of plays into some of this. Of like there was this person in school who we were, like, almost, like, opposite ends of, like, a personality spectrum, where it was just, like, this person, I ask a lot of questions, but, like, asked beyond every question I could ever think of. And I got to a point where I was like, okay, like, she's, like, the question person. And then, but even, like a really high sense of justice of, like, what about this? Like, we need to hit this. We need to call out this. And I was like, okay. And it was really interesting. I felt called to this person where I was like, right off the bat, I was like, don't like this person very much. Just to be honest. It's like, this is,
yeah, no, that's real. It, we have, like, those reactions.
Yeah. It was just like, we don't mesh well. Like, I feel like, yeah, just, she was kind of like an in your face type person. And like, I'm kind of a layback type person. And it was like, we're just not meshing, but I totally felt called to, like, I feel like God called me in that, in this moment of, like, hey, like, you can still love her too. And I think I kind of put up a wall to start. That was, like, one of the first few interactions just weren't great. But it was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go out of my way to invite this person to something. I don't know what it was, but it was something I invited her to. Didn't actually come, but it was a moment of, hey, like I can still love you in this. And like, we can still have disagreements and still love each other. And even like that, like, God doesn't like the actions that I portray all the time, right? God doesn't like my sin, but he still loves me too. And so it's not to put ourselves in the place of God, but, you know, there's still so much love available. And I like the way you said there, even if it's just pretending at first, some people might say that's shallow, but you're still hopefully doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, those steps can be intentional towards love.
Well, sometimes it's not even about like some people, it's just, you don't have like relational chemistry with, like,
yeah, that's real.
Maybe two people like are just an awkward combo together. Like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to connect just flawlessly and have that relational chemistry with everyone. You can still show them love and just say, I'm still going to invite them. And maybe they don't show up, but, you know, you did what you could to demonstrate love and that's all we can do sometimes. Not everybody's going to reciprocate our love.
Yeah.
That's a reality. And we just have to accept that. It's not always ideal. But we can at least do our part to have shown it. And if it doesn't get reciprocated, that's on them. That's not on us. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that leads well into one thing I want to hit was in verse 16, one of the commentaries I was reading was kind of focusing on a response. And so verse 16 says, so we have known and believe the love that God has for us. And so this commentary I was reading kind of gave four different options of response there. And so one was self-superiority. So responding to God's love of, you know, God loves me because I'm so great. And then another was doubt, you know, can God even love me? Another is wickedness. God loves me, so then I can do whatever I want. And or I guess it was just three. And then so the commentary kind of wrapped up that by saying God wants us to respond by knowing and believing the love that God has for us. And I don't think those are super rigidly defined, but I know I go through all three of those responses sometimes. You know, especially sometimes that doubt of, you know, look at all the bad things I've done. How could God ever love me?
Yeah.
And I think there's so much joy and hope in this passage of, you know, like even in that, like God doesn't like your sin. God hates your sin, but he doesn't hate you. You know, he still loves you.
Yeah.
So just knock it off.
Yeah. Do better.
Do better. It's just that easy. Just do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else sticking out to you?
Not off the top of my head. It's one of those passages that's kind of hard to delve into because it just says love so many times.
We should have counted. That, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
And, like, it's just, I mean, it says so many different things. Mm-hmm. And then, like, part of it is, a big part of it is love is sacrificial. Mm-hmm. And we don't like to consider, like, our society has kind of conditioned us to say, let your love stop if you're not getting anything out of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's not ideal. Mm-hmm. But
I think sacrificial, our love for God needs to be sacrificial. His love for us was very sacrificial. Right. And then our love for other people also needs to be sacrificial. Whether that's you're sacrificing your time, your energy, whatever it is.
Because so often our culture just says, hey, if that person's not giving you what you need, withdraw from that person.
Yeah.
And certainly there are appropriate times for boundaries. Absolutely.
Yep.
And it can be a loving thing to institute boundaries. And so those are difficult lines to walk, especially in circumstances of abuse. But like, just because you're not getting what you should be getting out of a person doesn't mean that we stop loving them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what society wants to tell us.
Yeah.
Very reciprocal. So we have to definitely push back on that and say, no, I need to love this person sacrificially. Like even when it's uncomfortable or I don't like it or I don't like them, I need to sacrifice something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's my own comfort. Maybe it's my own idea of what I want to do when we're hanging out. Maybe we'll go watch their movie choice instead of mine or whatever. But it's sacrificial. It's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Loving people is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we think that it should be happy, fuzzy, warm, whatever. No, sometimes loving people is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we need to be prepared for that.
Mm. I think ideally that brings us closer to God. You know, that uncomfortability. Should hopefully make us love other people more and love God more.
Well, thanks, Con, for leading us in this passage. And you know, like we said last week, I think there's just a richness sometimes in just delving into the Word together.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Sometimes it's just opening up a passage and saying what strikes us and having a conversation like we just did.
Yeah.
If you ever need a little bit more guidance of that or for that, we do have the Walking With bookmarks that we've made that have four simple questions that you can use to guide a conversation.
Yeah.
There's so many different wonderful ways to delve into Scripture with other people. So this is just one option of what it can look like. So we hope that this has been edifying for you. I know it was edifying for me. Yeah. And so, just read Scripture together, people. That's all we want. Not all we want, but it's a great thing to be able to do together. So thank you, Con, for leading us in this. Thank you all for watching or for listening. Make sure that you subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything. And always leave us a review so that we can know what we can do better. If you have a passage of Scripture that you'd like us to take a look at, let me know. My email address is listed in the comments or in the episode notes down below, so please check that out. If there's any stories you want to share, come on the podcast yourself. I would be happy to do some of those things. So just let me know what you're thinking. We want to make this as useful as possible for you. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Yep. Love you.
Aw.